So a lot of things have been happening, and right up to the last thing that Marvin just said, but the songs have been full of good theology. There has been just incredible theology declared out of our lips this morning. And so the last thing Marvin said was he prayed for ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And that's the prayer upon my heart right now, because I've got to keep your attention long enough to, you know, to bring what I really feel the Lord has put on my heart. So just be praying right now. Lord, give me ears to hear. Give me ears to hear. Let me hear. Let me hear. Lord, I want to hear. And Lord, I want to keep hearing. I want to just keep hearing, Lord. Even as I'm speaking, Lord, let me hear, Lord. Let me hear what the Spirit is saying, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What a glorious day. The sun is shining, and I just love it. Just take a moment and just feel those rays. Isn't that beautiful? This is really precious. My goodness. 1 Peter 1:2 says this, and I want to declare this over us this morning. I want to pray this over us. I want to just declare it. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. Now, if you're not, what we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to talk about discipleship and disciples. Disciples are simply learners or followers. They're followers of Jesus. In fact, a follower of Jesus is a more accurate description of a Christian than a Christian. Let me say that again. A follower of Jesus is a more accurate description of who we're called to be than calling ourselves Christian. Okay? So being a disciple is being a learner, being a follower. And if you are not a follower, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you can become a follower of Jesus. I spoke at a funeral graveside many years ago with the smell of marijuana was in the air. And this was before it was legalized. And I'm at the graveside, and one of the fellows comes up to me and he says, you know, back at the chapel, he says, were you like recruiting back there? And I said, well, actually, no, you know, I don't recruit, but Jesus has been looking for followers for over 2,000 years, and he's been finding them. So there you go. God the Father knew you and he chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, you got to look that up later. 1 Peter 1:2. If you think about biblical meditation, spend time. Biblical meditation is not some kind of empty your mind kind of, you know, silly thing. Biblical meditation is the truth of God being like you know, just kind of percolating and being released inside our hearts and our spirits. And so you can go and look at 1 Peter 1:2 later. As a result, you obeyed him and you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Years ago, there was a magazine called Leadership, and in the Leadership magazine, they had the most awesome cartoons. I think people subscribe to Leadership magazine for the cartoons. There was a cartoon of a church, and a sign on the church said, "The Church by the Active Volcano." That was the name of the church, and you had the volcano in the background. The Church by the Active Volcano. And the caption was, this really puts a damper on long-term planning, on long-range planning, but it really puts an urgency in my preaching. It adds an urgency to the message, you know. So there you go. God in his mercy is initiating something in these days. God in his mercy is initiating a time of preparation. He's allowing you and me in his mercy a time of preparation. The Bible says this. It says, be dressed in readiness. And I love that. It's taken from Luke chapter 12. And it's one of my favorite verses. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door. So they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Now, if you email me or you get an email from me, let me just, I think I'm okay here, but I'm just going to click this off, whatever that is. If you get an email from me, on the bottom of my email, I always put a little caption. My latest one doesn't have any reference because it's my quote. Normally, I quote everyone else. But my quote says this. It says, the best way to die is to be fully alive. The best way to die is to be fully alive. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. We are to be the most awake, the most alive, the most vibrant, and, you know, alive inwardly. You know, the Bible says, you know, there's a word when the Spirit comes, it says that he quickens. And it's the same word when that heartbeat comes to a newborn life, when life is just quickened and the heart begins to beat and it's quickened. And so the Spirit of God comes alive in us and our spirit begins to bear witness to things we never, you know, we never knew before. You know, the sun, the clouds, everything, the day, you know, it cannot be appreciated to the extent that we need to appreciate it apart from God. It cannot. People live substandard lives. They live separated from God and they don't enjoy this. They don't enjoy life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. I love everything about life with Jesus. I love everything about life walking with him. I went out yesterday. I called it my rain or shine walk. And guess what? It rained. But when I was two blocks away from the home, I went back and I got my new Tilly hat, which kept the rain off my, but I didn't know it was going to rain, but I'm a rain or shine Christian. And so are we us all to be rain or shine Christians. And it poured and I had a great walk and there was life flowing in me because I did not walk alone. And we don't walk alone. Shortly after Lou Engle called the 40-day fast, and many of you know he's American, he called a 40-day fast. Well, Watchman, which is Canadian, called for a season of prayer and fasting shortly after that. I was feeling this week, I had a lot of things going on. It was actually just the most amazing week, and I'll tell you that because I'm a guy of adventure, so I don't mind the ups and the downs and the all-arounds because they culminate in beautiful things as my eyes are turned upward. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I was feeling apologetic that I'd called a fast for WOCC. I was having these feelings where I was being apologetic and I was thinking like, what an inconvenience, you know? I mean, you know, but while at the same time, and you got to track with me here because this is all happening at the same time. And before we go too far, let me talk about fasting. The Bible says, if any man, it says in the King James Version, comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If we want to talk about discipleship, then you've got to read those words of Jesus and take them seriously. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And I want to highlight that last part. I want to underline it a million times and follow me and follow me. So let me, so track with me here. So I'm feeling this. And then I began, well, at the same time, there was an increasing sense and conviction that now is the time. There was just this thing that was growing at the same time in me, this conviction that now is the time. And I could tell you numerous things and examples of confirmations. And one of the things that's come out so much in our singing and our time together is the word breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And so when I got an email from someone who's not here and not part of our church, but who needs desperately a breakthrough, it was a further confirmation that now is the time. Now is the time. So I began. This is the culmination of it. And then I began to feel deeply the mercy and the kindness of the Lord calling us to himself. This is what I felt. This is kind of like, this is how I tracked it. I went from feeling bad, you know, and remorseful about calling a fast and calling you guys into it, to a time of beginning to feel deeply the mercy and the kindness of the Lord calling us to himself. And then you know what? This is why daily reading is so important. I said, get into the Bibles. Don't neglect your Bible. Read your Bible every day. I read Psalm 66:4. What joy for those you choose to bring near. How fitting is that? What joy for those you choose to bring near. Isaiah 55 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. I can't go, you know, elaborate and spend time with every one of these verses, but it is so important. Now is the time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And let me just very quickly, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they didn't take any oil with them. These wise ones, however, took jars, oil in jars, along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. That's the next verse. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. And I've got that highlighted because that's very important. Many people are living that way. You can't live that way. You can't live that way, thinking that the bridegroom is still a long ways away. And they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. The best way to die is to be fully alive. They all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, a cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come to meet him." And it concludes with this verse, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Therefore keep watch." 3 days to fast. I called when we started this. I said, okay, take the first 3 days. Fast however you want. You know, if you can give up food or even a meal or even dessert, you know, or give up TV, you know, whatever you can do for 3 days, you know, just let's press into a fast together. And in those 3 days, ask the Lord what he wants you to set aside. And I look at it like this. It's not about subtraction. It's about addition. This is really important. The emphasis is not on the subtraction, but on the addition. I tell you, you shut off the news, you know, you have just added something powerful to your life. You've allowed an incredible amount of time to, you know, I see some nodding, so I know some of, you know, I could be nodding too, right? And, but you know, what about dessert? You give up dessert. And you're going to just remember that, and it's going to juggle your, you know, it's going to speak to you that you're fasting for a reason. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So here we go. So I want to almost leave this behind after. What you're fasting is it's consequential. It's not what I want to ask you about or talk about. In fact, let's not talk about that. And I'll tell you why after. So I tell people, if you're not sure, do a media fast. Do a media fast. Try that for 40 days, a media fast. I tell you, it's going to do your soul a lot of good. But anyway, I want to talk about three things about fasting. Three things very quickly. Fasting and prayer. They often are just joined right at the hip. Fasting and prayer. It humbles us and it addresses our hearts. I want to read this scripture from Joel. Here we go. Oh, that song by Kevin Prosh. You know, I is it called Even So? Even So Come? We're going to send that out later. Barb's, I was sent it last night, and I want to send it on to you guys. It just undoes me, and it'll undo you too. So we're going to send that on after this. We're going to send on the song by originally written by Kevin Prosh. And when Barb sent it to me, I said, my immediate thought before I started listening to it, it was another group that were doing it. And I said, I don't think anybody could do this like Kevin Prosh, you know. And I was wrong. And I was so glad I was wrong. It just undid me. It was so beautiful. I'm going to send that out to you. But when Scott was doing it this morning, I felt like the anointing of Keith Green was upon you on that piano. I just felt, you know, I was waiting for that head to bop just a little bit more, you know. Keith Green would just bop for Jesus. Remember that? So a call to repentance. That is why the Lord says, Joel chapter 2 and verse 12, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows, perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a curse." And, you know, I was reading somewhere else, and I don't have the reference for it, but I was reading, I don't know where was that, I just read this recently in the Bible, but it was like it takes us into a desert place. To neglect the Lord is to be in a desert place, a dry place, a place separated, not in that life that comes through him. So fasting humbles us and addresses our hearts. Psalm 69:10 tells us that David wept and he humbled himself with fasting. And then Ezra chapter 8, Ezra says this, "There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast. Now, Ezra was returning to Jerusalem out of exile, coming back from Babylon with 5,000 people. He had the responsibility of 5,000 people. And he was crying. So you have to get the picture here, because he didn't ask for protection from the king on this journey. So listen to this. Therefore, by the canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and for our children and all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, for his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and we petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Now, James 4:6 says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We are in desperate need of grace. Grace is something. It's not something just ethereal, something that is out there somewhere. It is actually something that God imparts. The grace of God is something that he gives, and there's an ability to do what you couldn't do before by the grace of God. You couldn't be saved apart from the grace of God. And so the Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In Matthew 18, it's the great passage on forgiveness. And I liken it to people who have cages in their hearts. And I have cages in my heart, and I want to explain that in a minute. There are cages in our hearts, but those cage doors need to be open. What we do with our cages is through unforgiveness, through bitterness, through resentment, through judgment, we begin to lock people inside of us through our attitudes towards one another. We begin to take one another and we put them inside those cages and we close the doors. And we keep them there. And maybe with our lips we say, I forgive. Have you done that? With your lips you say, I forgive. But the Bible addresses the heart, and it says this: unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart, about the torment of the heart, the torment of the individual who refuses to forgive. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. That's what it's like. And so we need those cages to be fully open. And I'm emptying them all the time. But I tell you, I'm emptying them quickly, quickly, quickly. And one of the best ways to empty our cages is to pray, to pray. And I like to say that we should pray till the bitter breaks and the sweet begins to flow. To pray a blessing. Corey, thank you for some examples and things that you shared. And thank you that you're a follower of Jesus, not just a Christian. And it's blessed my heart. And these stories just are incredible to hear, and incredible for our lives. Two things that are going to be demonstrated in this day, and they're very much heart related, and they're very much related to the open cages, to the heart. You know, Proverbs 4:23 is one of my favorite scriptures. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it come the wellsprings of life, that life flows from our hearts. That's where it springs out. That's where it springs out. So two of the things, and I just underline it because they need to be underlined 1,000 times, is that these are demonstrative things that will be seen in these days as a testimony to God and what he is doing. The first one is love. Jesus said by this, in John 13, he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. The early church had a visible love. It was visible. Historians wrote about it. They wrote about how the Christians, during a time of plague, they buried not only their own dead, they buried the dead of others. And they had something that was upon them that was absolutely visible in their community and in their lives. The second thing that Jesus talked about was unity in John chapter 17. He says, by this men will know, Father, that you sent the Son. By our oneness, by our unity. I tell people, go after unity at every level. You know, if you can promote unity, the Bible says, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Like, be a peacemaker. Go after unity. Humble yourself. Be the first to ask forgiveness, you know. Don't wait for the other person. You got 10% of it, I'm sure. if not 90%, you know, so own something in it and humble yourself for the sake of unity. Unity is incredibly important. Read Psalm 133. It is incredibly important to the commanded blessing of God in this hour. Number two, and I've only got three, fasting and prayer redirects our focus. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to turn to that too, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I ask you to read that whole chapter, okay, because I'm only going to reference just a couple of verses. But here it is at the beginning, in the spring of the year. No, sorry, that's 1 Chronicles. Boy, there's a call for repentance right there. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I even have a marker. I know I do. Here we go. After the armies of the Moabites and some others declared war on Jehoshaphat, messengers came to Jehoshaphat and said that a vast army from Edom is marching against you and from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazanon Tamar. This was another name. Okay, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news. He was terrified by this news and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And then I want to fast forward. This is an amazing story, but you could read it on your own. Chapter 20. There was a man. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this man, and he began to prophesy. He began to speak the word of the Lord, and he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, listen. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged, for this mighty army... By this mighty army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz, at the end of the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you." And I want you to underline that if you have a Bible. The fact that he is with us, this is the victory. He is with us. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out to the wilderness. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk. Let me just see. There's a verse I want to get to here. Actually, maybe I have it here. Hold on a second. Oh, yes, verse 12. Sorry, I didn't read verse 12. I missed verse 12. And that's where I want to end this story. You can continue to read this, but listen to verse 12. "Our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Now this, in another translation, it says, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." This is my new COVID life scripture right now. This is my new COVID life scripture, verse 12. "We don't know what to do," Jehoshaphat says, "but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you." And anybody that's been tracking anything in these days, you know how quickly things change. I have a friend that always says, "The Lord willing, the Lord willing, I'll do this, the Lord willing, I'll do that." Because you don't know what a day holds. And I don't know what a day holds, but I know who holds it. And if we're looking to the Lord, and if our gaze is upon him, he sees far into the future. He sees every circumstance and every situation. And so our eyes are to be fixed on him. A Bible teacher wisely observes, "Sooner or later, God will bring self-sufficient people to the place where they have no resource but him, no strength, no answers, nothing but him. Without God's help, we're sunk. So fasting and prayer redirects our focus. Finally, number three, fasting and prayer affects our hearing. There was a famous pastor who was once asked, what is the success of your ministry? You have an incredible ministry. What is the secret to the success of your ministry? He said, I listen and I obey. I listen and I obey. Having a notebook during these days is very important. Having a journal or a notebook to write in, to write thoughts, to write scriptures, to write observances, observations, things that happen that you, and you make record of these things. They're testaments to what God is doing, and He is speaking, and He will speak. This is not, we can't preach a message that's going to cover every single detail of every single thing. But I think at the end, you're going to see that this is one of the most important things we can do. In Acts chapter 13, one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord, listen to this, as they were worshiping the Lord, that's what we're doing this morning, worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. It was as a church was worshiping and fasting, seeking God together, that the Lord gave them instructions. You know, I never marvel. You might not think you hear the voice of God, but if you're a believer, you do. And you will. So that's why a journal is important, because you're going to capture some of these things. You're going to write them down. Sometimes they're just thoughts that come through so quickly, but you got to capture them and write them down. And the reason I know you can hear the voice of God is because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. It was as the church was worshiping and fasting that the Lord gave them the instructions for Paul and Barnabas to go on their first missionary journey. So great things can happen through times of worshiping and fasting. Why did the believers fast? This is from a commentary. This is really good. The question was being asked in the commentary. Why did the believers fast when they were commissioned, when they were commissioning Barnabas and Saul as missionaries? And this was the answer they gave. It's likely that fasting on that occasion emphasized a state of uninterrupted concentration, which made it possible to ascertain the will of God. A state of uninterrupted concentration. We had a car one time when Graham went to Australia. He sold us his car, and it was a no frills car, but it was a great car. We loved that car, but it had no radio. It had no radio. And you know, since when I came back from the Camino, I turned the radio off, and I just traveled without the radio. Because I didn't want to stop hearing. I didn't want to start listening. There are so many noises and so many distractions. So these are some practices that we can put into place. If you still don't know what to fast, I'm giving you some ideas. Jesus at the well. The disciples urged him. They said this. When Jesus was at the well, they urged him. They said, Rabbi, eat something. They saw perhaps he hadn't eaten. And they said, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing of. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And then Jesus said these words. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish his work. We can use the time that we normally spend on other things to minister to others. In Isaiah 58, so many of you have read that portion. You need to read that. The fast, the chosen fast of the Lord. Isaiah 58, it says, is this not the kind of fasting that I've chosen to loose the chains of injustice? And when an email came across my desk and I saw that email, and I knew the cry in the person's heart that they wanted freedom. They wanted the bondage that they were experiencing to be broken. And every song that you guys have sung, and every time I hear something, and Heather sent an email, and other people, I've heard this cry and this call for broken chains, for freedom to come to the captives. And if you've been reading the news at all and you know anything about what's going on, there is a pandemic that is even greater than the pandemic that we're hearing about. And it's the alcoholism and addictions that are going on. It's the abuse within families. It's the suicides. I heard that the suicide rate in one place was through the roof. It's never had numbers like that before. So yes, I want you to remember that this is a fast that it says that a kind of fast to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to break every yoke. The Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Another translation says, and not to hide from relatives who need your help. And, you know, I thought of some people in our community right now. And, I actually thought of a number of them. And probably the most recent one is our dear Patty Walker, you know, and the love that she's shown to her mother, and her mother has just got into a beautiful place that they found for her. But I remember feeling in my heart that I really felt proud of Patty. You know, I felt, and it's kind of a funny word to use and a funny thing that I felt, but I felt proud of her that she had taken the step to bring her mom to Ottawa and spend some time with her as they looked for a suitable place for her. And is this not the fast that I've called for, says the Lord? To provide, to not hide from your relatives who need your help. And I remember a fast a number of years, maybe months or years ago, I can't remember which fast it was, but where people, somebody took this to heart and they really felt that this was their fast, that they were really to focus on family, that they were to fast other things, to give up other distractions and concentrate on their family for a season. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. So in conclusion, What we're in right now, brothers and sisters, is the greatest love story the world has ever seen. That's what this is about. If you haven't yet discovered that, then you need to get into that prayer closet a little more often. This is the greatest love story that's ever been told. There is a bridegroom bringing together a beautiful bride across every tongue, every tribe, every nation he's bringing to himself. I was so happy when I heard that Watchmen had called I believe they're global, but they're going to be some gatherings that are taking place. I think three gatherings to help to pray in and seek the Lord for his resting place on this earth, for his place of dwelling among us. And just how precious that is. But it's a great love story. And above all else, you know, God has come to capture our hearts and to love us, to woo us to himself, and then to walk with us in a love relationship, giving us that abundant life every step of the way. Fasting and prayer humbles us and addresses our hearts. Please address your heart. Allow the Lord to address your heart. Don't carry people anymore. Open up the gates of your heart. Read scripture that help you to understand how important it is, like Matthew chapter 18, to release from the heart, not with the lips, from the heart. Fasting and prayer redirects our focus, and we need redirecting, brothers and sisters. We need redirecting. We've been caught up for too long in things that don't matter, things that don't, you know. I read too about about broken cisterns. It's in the Bible, you know, men who've hewn out broken cisterns, you know, like that hold nothing, you know, and yet we are to hold something very precious, very precious. Fasting and prayer affects our hearing, and it affects our obedience. As we hear, we obey. As we hear, we obey. That's why it's so important to say yes in the little things. You know, I even sometimes turn around and do something by a prompting that doesn't cost me anything. And it might be really even silly and doesn't amount to anything. But I think it's a good practice. Because if we're going to say yes, you know, God is going to entrust us with things, you know. And when the big yes comes, you know, the need for the big yes comes, he's going to find a heart that actually says yes to him. So say yes to him in the little things. Psalm 66:4 says, what joy for those you choose to bring near. Lord, in this hour, Lord, we pray. We pray that you would bring us near. And Lord, I know that you're doing it. You're doing it for the sake, not just for ourselves, because this is not all about us. It's not about me and it's not about us, but it's about what you're doing in the earth. It's what you're doing, Lord, and the people that you are bringing to yourself, Lord, in this hour. and those that you will draw into your kingdom, Lord. We want to be a people that are ready to receive everyone you bring, Lord, into our lives. We want to have hearts that are clean and pure and hearts that bless, Lord. We want to be a people that where blessing flows freely from our lips and from our hearts, Lord. Lord, we want to be a people that are known for our love and a people that promote unity and not disunity, Lord. A people that side with the intercessor and not the accuser, Lord. Lord, let this be, Lord, our portion, Lord. Be our portion, Lord. Let me finish with this scripture. This is really important because you know it says, the Bible says, when you fast. I said I was going to address that, when you fast. You know, he's actually talking to his disciples during this time. He's talking to them, instructing them, but he's also talking to the Pharisees. And he's saying, when you fast, don't look like you're fasting. You know, don't get all, you know, tired looking and, you know, and unwashed and kind of, you know, just so people can feel sorry for you. Because then he says, you've got your reward. You've got it in full. You know, you've received it in full. But, you know, our reward, this is our reward. Listen to this. In Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Let's run after him with everything we have. There's a scripture in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, draw me after you and let us run together. You can make that your prayer. Draw me after you and let us run together. Pray that to the Lord. Draw me after you and let us run together.